different because I find it's hard to look at the video and say everything, so I'm going to kind of give an overview. And I wanted to say, I know this video is very, very hard to watch. And certainly, if anyone wants to step out for a few minutes, they can do this. But we're showing it because we need to get at the truth and show how much this video reveals. Now, on January 1st, before the videos came out, the San Francisco Chronicle reported that there was a deadly brawl on the BART train and on the platform, and that officers repeatedly tried to break up this brawl between two groups of young men, and that in the chaos of this so-called fight, an officer discharged his gun, killing Oscar Grant. This was before the video that you're about to see came out in the media. Without these videos, the police, the authorities, and the media would probably have just gone along with this whole initial cover-up. Now, this is what BART Police Chief Gary G said when he saw the video. He said he found the video footage to be inconclusive. Well, we'll let you decide. We're going to show these clips by three different BART train passengers from three different angles. There's a lot of information in these videos, and we have copies of the clips that people can take home and further analyze. Today, we're just showing the basics of what happened. These videos were taken by people because they knew something going down was wrong. The videos are low quality, they're shaky. The voices you hear are from the train passengers, including the people who are shooting the videos. We know three of the youth were assaulted on the platform, and the videos show at least two of these assaults. They show threats with tasers, and then they show the shooting itself. Now, about 2 a.m., the BART train officer radioed about the supposed fight. It wasn't much of a fight. How bad could it have been? No victims ever came forward. No fighters were ever identified by any witness. And in the days that followed, videos and witnesses started coming forward, and a picture of those minutes on the platform before and after the shooting began to emerge. BART officer Tony Peroni, an ex-Marine, and the man you'll see in the video with a crew cut, was the first on the platform, and he immediately began targeting Black and Latino youth. Although he had no description of anyone in the reported fight, then when four of Oscar's friends get off the train, Peroni grabbed one of them. Yelling, cursing, Peroni banged on the train window and pointed his taser at the two young Black men, Oscar and his friend Michael Greer, and ordered them off the train. As soon as Michael and Oscar stepped off the train, the officers attacked. Peroni lunged at Michael, grabbed him by his dreadlocks, slammed his face down on the concrete, put a large cut on the bridge of his nose. Michael's friend started to yell, "What are you doing that for? What did we do?" Peroni grabbed Oscar and hustled him to a wall. Soon other cops came and threatened more youth with their tasers, yelling the N-word at the young man and calling them motherfuckers. This is not on the video, but it's recorded by different eyewitnesses. The second video you will see, which came out 3 weeks after the murder, shows Peroni suddenly stride past Michael, who was handcuffed and lying on the cement, and go across the platform toward Oscar, who has his hands out and is talking to the female police officer, Marisol Domenici. Peroni shakes Oscar and then hits him hard in the face, causing his head to snap back. Attorneys who have seen this video call this a felony assault and completely unprovoked. You will see that Oscar fell to a sitting position and put his hands up in a submission gesture. The video shows that Peroni then aimed his taser at each of the three youth in front of him, and all of them sat down. They weren't resisting, they were sitting. A little later, Peroni again comes to where Oscar is, and although I have seen no mainstream media reports of it, the video does show that Johannes Messerli is beating down the youth next to Oscar, striking him about 3 times and then handcuffing him. Oscar rises to his knees, protesting. We know that three more of Oscar's friends got off the train to protest what's happening, and that this female cop Domenici threatened them with her taser, pointing it at each one, tapping one between the eyes with it. Now you can't see this because it's out of range of the videos, but you can see Domenici walking off the camera at one point and taking her taser and with her taser out. After Messerly beats down the youth beside Oscar and handcuffs him, he moves to Oscar, stands over him, pushes him onto his stomach. Peroni, then standing in front, pushes Oscar's face to the pavement. You'll see Messerly straddle Oscar's back, pulling his arms back. Peroni stands over Oscar's head, digging his knee into Oscar's neck. Now these officers are huge. You will hear the shouts of people on the train. That's fucked up, let him go. Witnesses heard Oscar cry out in pain, and he told Peroni, I have a 4-year-old daughter, don't tase me, moments before he was shot. You will see throughout all these videos that Oscar's and his friends are fully in police control. They're not resisting. The videos show Oscar lying face down on the ground with both hands behind his back, barely moving, if at all. But Peroni and Messerly didn't stop. They escalated. Peroni claims he heard Messerly say to him, Tony, get away, back up. Now that, if true, that is a chilling statement pointing to a cold, calculated decision. With Peroni still on Oscar, Messerly wrenches his gun from its holster and shoots Oscar Grant at close range in the back. After the shot, Messerly and Peroni can be seen looking at each other. Messerly may be looking to Peroni for help. What do we do now? Oscar's friends start to react with anger, grief, calling on the cops to help Oscar. What did the cops do? According to witnesses, the female, Domenici, is running after people, confiscating some people's cell phones. The doors to the bar train close and the train quickly leaves the station. Before it does, you will see Peroni and Messerly standing over Oscar, maybe nudging or even kicking him with their feet. They drag him upward and flip him over. Messerly seems to be doing something to Oscar's back or feet, handcuffing or uncuffing him. One news report I read suggested that Oscar's ankles had been secured with those zip ties before he was shot. At any rate, what you will not see in the videos is any concern on the part of the officers for Oscar's life in those crucial seconds after he is shot. You will not see any of the officers radio for an ambulance. No one is cradling his head. No one is holding his hand or any of the things that you would do if you had remorse or if you were trying to save someone's life. Can we do the videos now?
The lights, please.
Lights. Talking to the three who is standing. Now, Peroni hits Oscar, but he can't see it. And if you can see some of the youth walking up now. This was a video that first came out. It was taken by a young woman named Karina Vargas, and she started filming, and then she got scared and went back in the train, and then she couldn't get a shot, and she was in the train, and she was hearing everything, you know, that was going on, and people was, you know, yelling and stuff like that, you know, asking the cops to stop, and she couldn't get a shot. But when she saw the police escalating their violence, she knew she had to get back out there, as scared as she was, and go on to the platform.
Thank you.
And a little while you see the female officer, Domenici, go off to the left. And Karina was focused on something else happening. It looks like somebody else was being attacked by the cops and taken down to the ground, someone with red sneakers.
Thank you. Before the videos were shot and after the videos ended, is that the events before and after also painted a picture of cold-blooded murder. Hundreds of people witnessed this. Why wasn't that BART car stopped right then and there? And everyone signed up as a witness to this. All the people you were hearing yelling, "That's fucked up." No. The police didn't want that. They sent the car away. They did not want to hear from those people. Why did they? How many cell phones did they grab that have other footage that exposes what we're seeing here? You saw how the police acted. Were they upset? Were they heartbroken? Were they stressed out? No. No, they were trying to figure out how to cover this up. They could care less about killing another young man. But even before, what led up to this so-called incident? And Reiko mentioned this in her walkthrough. The day, and here's how the media works. The day after the killing, the Chronicle came out with a story based on what BART told them, which means what the police told them. And they said that there was two groups of young men fighting on the train, that BART, quote, "Police began trying to isolate the young men as they fought." Did we see any of this? And that this fight continued and spilled out of the platform, and somehow a gun discharged in the middle of the melee. Well, all this was said. Lies, thank you. Lies. And you know what? Without the video, they would have continued to say this, as our families today are going to testify they said about their loved ones. And without tribunals like this to make sure this stuff comes out far and wide, and I do want to mention, I can't, maybe Reiko mentioned this, Dennis Bernstein couldn't be here tonight at Flashpoints, but he's assuring me that he sends his love and to the everyone here, and that he's going to be excerpting this tribunal throughout the week, and he's going to be having a report Monday night with some of the family and friends and off of this measurely hearing. So, and there are other people taping this. This is going to be on cable television. We're in Revolution newspaper is going to continue to cover this. We are not going to let the story die or the truth be buried about us or any of the family. As Reiko mentioned, the truth is there was no fight on the train. There were no two gangs of youth fighting on the platform. There was apparently a very minor argument, and actually a witness came forward that has not been interviewed in the media and that testified to us directly. And they didn't know Oscar. They didn't know any of the other people. It was a couple, a professional couple, and they said this wasn't anything. They didn't even realize what was going on. It was just, yeah, there was some little thing, but it wasn't any big deal. But nonetheless, even though there wasn't any identification of anyone who was supposedly involved in this altercation that didn't even happen, we immediately get to one of the systemic things about this murder, and that is racial profiling. Grabbing someone because they're young and they're black or they're brown or they're an immigrant or for whatever reason, profiling them. That's what started this whole thing. And there's also been a profiling. There's also been a profiling and a criminalization of youth. From the time they're teenagers, these police are trying to put jackets on people and harassing people and brutalizing people. So we want to get into that with our next witnesses. What is racial profiling? What is this criminalization of youth? How and what does it look like, and how is it systemic? And Reiko is going to be speaking at this point with Zaporia, I believe. So if Zaporia, would you like to come up at this point? And Reiko, you will discuss this. And anything else you think is pertinent to this.